Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
I would like to remind us that we're in the middle of a three-week series as a church. A year ago, we decided we wanted to support some local missions, and so we decided to support monthly the Sunshine Soup Kitchen. And last week, Kevin came from Salvation Army and talked to us about the soup kitchen and about poverty and homelessness, and it was a challenging message. The other group that we've decided to support monthly is Youth for Christ, Comox Valley. And our speaker's going to come in a moment. And then next week, we will have a speaker come from the Pregnancy Care Center. So those are the three local missions that we support on a monthly basis, financially as well as prayerfully. And so it's an exciting thing to do this little mini-series, to hear about it. And so I just want to quickly introduce Robbie Taylor. Robbie Taylor is the Executive Director of Youth for Christ in the Comox Valley. I asked him if he had any kind of a bio, and he just said, just tell him I'm a really handsome guy, and that he has a passion for youth, and that he has a passion for the church in the Comox Valley. The other thing I know that he has the passion for is for football, and it's not that ball with the pointy ends that Canadians call football. It's the round one. No, it's not soccer. Right, Robbie? Robbie will chastise you if you call it soccer. It's called football. So join and give a hand to Robbie Taylor as he comes and speaks to us this morning.
All right, well, whoa, it's loud. I brought my hard copy because in case my digital copy didn't work. So just in case, that's what that is. And why don't we pause and enter in straight away to prayer. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you this morning because we are here. And we thank you because your presence is what makes our lives significant. Father, I pray that you would just take this morning and have your way, that your word would penetrate our hearts, that, Lord Jesus, our lives would be a reflection of the inward transformation. We love you and we thank you. Amen. It's a good place to start, right? Prayer. So it's a good place to start. Well, good morning. Wow, I can't see up on the balcony. There is people up there, right? There we go. Good morning. Good morning. My name's Robbie, as Calvin said. I'm the Executive Director for Youth for Christ, Comox Valley. I'm here with my beautiful wife, Amanda, and my wild and crazy and beautiful young 10-month-old daughter, which is absolutely beautiful to me. Her name is Ellie Brenn. And I'm going to start with just this portion of introduction because it's very important to me. I love being a dad. I love it. And on the journey of becoming a father, I was actually told, you don't know what you've got yourself into. You don't know what is going to happen. Oh, your life has changed for the worse. I had all this terrible advice from brothers and sisters in Christ. It was like I couldn't believe it. And so I know there's going to be some really challenging days to come. But just let me for a moment live in the bliss, okay, of a beautiful, sweet baby that is perfect. And don't give me any reality checks after the service, all right? That's all I need, okay? But I truly do love being a dad. I want to thank the church for the opportunity to share this morning. I want to thank Pastor Dave for the beautiful legacy, the beautiful foundation on which this church sits. The incredible opportunity now for what Jesus wants to do in this community. And I know that Calvin was just talking a little bit about search committee and the church world and how that all works. But let me tell you, true leadership is actually in the room. This is it. You are it. You are the hands and feet of Jesus. And a pastor is one that just shepherds those hands and feet. So I do pray that you would enter into that process of discovering who you are as a church, because if you know who you are, you'll know how to behave. It's very true. And the other thing is this. I want to thank and honor Trevor. I get to work alongside Trevor. I get to meet with him. We get to justify having coffees and call it work. It's okay. We're okay with that. We don't feel guilty. But he's very new to our community. And straight away, it was just clear the phenomenal heart he has for young people. The phenomenal love he has to see young people know Jesus. And the work that he's doing is hard. The work that he does doesn't come as a job to him, but it's an extension of his heart and his calling in life. And so I need you to promise me that you would, moving forward this morning, just consider the importance of the role that he has in this church, and that if the next generation is to be invested in, you have a pastor in Trevor at this point that also needs to know that he's invested in too. And that's on my heart. And so he's an incredible man, and already I see him making an incredible difference in young people's lives in this community. As I mentioned, I work for You for Christ, and I usually like to start with some misnomers about You for Christ, because often people who have been in the community longer than I have heard of You for Christ in our community before I was here. And so some of the things that Youth for Christ isn't, it's not a youth group for kids. Youth for Christ is not a youth group for kids. In the past, we've ran certain programs. Youth for Christ is an organization that seeks to see every young person living fully in Christ. My mission is simple. I want to see every young person living fully in Christ. And so I want to break it down, because to me the mission is important. We work alongside the community, we work alongside local churches, and we work in schools, and we're working with young people. But I always have to remind myself of the mission, which is to see every young person living fully in Christ. Youth for Christ Comox Valley is a part of a wider family across Canada. There's about 36 different locations that we operate out of, and then spread out to another 50 locations around that. And there's about 800 staff across the country. It's a huge organization. It's actually, I believe, if I'm right in saying that, it's actually the largest youth organization in Canada for that. But there is a misnomer that we are just here, and it's a local ministry. And there is autonomy with us here in our community. But we are a part of a wider family that seeks to see all youth in this nation become fully alive in Jesus Christ. The every young person, it goes from the marginalized to the middle class. It goes from the rural to the urban. It even goes from those who would like to be outside and hang out with friends to those who are stuck in a basement on a computer. There is no place we will not go, because our goal and our mission, powered by God, is to see every young person living fully in Christ. We work with elementary kids, high school kids, and those who maybe need a little bit more help going into early adulthood. And this living fully is kind of a packed phrase, and so I broke it down. It's the essence of life to the full. John 10:10. It's this desire to see a holistic transformation in a young person. That we get kids that don't care about God and don't want to care about God, but will go from being combative all the way to being peacemakers. That's transformation. We see brothers and sisters in families where they don't care about Jesus, they don't want to believe in Jesus, and yet still we start to see family reconciliation. So it's not just the spiritual seeing kids come from death to life, which is our ultimate aim and goal, but it's a holistic care and transformation. And it's easy to understand when we think of out there mission, like the world mission, because we go and serve in needs of places where there is deep needs and we provide care. We don't just go to tell them about Jesus. If you think about it, we go to other parts of the country and parts of this world to make their lives better holistically. And so it's no different here in our community. And it's in Christ. It's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus, and it's always going to be about Jesus and his deep heart of love for students. That's what we're about. It's about salvation that is found in Christ. It's experiencing the full life that he offers in himself. It's this true identity that only Christ can give. Again, I said it earlier, if you know who you are, you'll know how to behave. And our goal is to work alongside students, walk alongside students, engage them in such a way that they know that they can have new life in Jesus and that Jesus changes everything for them. So what do we do? I know it's that sometimes it's hard to understand how do we do what we do or why do we do. We engage and equip youth to know and follow him. Big part of this is to connect with students wherever they are at. So Youth for Christ Comox Valley desires to connect with students in high schools, community groups, church contexts, sporting contexts. And our goal is to come alongside young people to let them know that they're loved and to let them know that there is a God of love and to let them know that their life and their circumstances can change and be transformed. We offer in our community, we offer lunchtime games clubs in some schools where kids come in who don't have friends, make friends, play board games. I'm not a board games fan. My staff enjoy board games. I'm too competitive for that. It wouldn't be a good ministry strategy for me to play board games with kids because I like to win. But it's true that if you can sit around a table long enough with students, engage them in a board game, something that they know, slowly but surely, opportunities come for conversation. Another strategic part of what we try and do is every single school, believe it or not, gets to have a youth pastor go into it. The schools in this community are not closed. That's also another misnomer. There is no closed schools to God. SD 71 is God's. Okay? There is no closed areas where God cannot go. There is no closed countries. God is already there. God is already working, and we just get to partner in that work as we go in. But it's very interesting because we don't just go in with something that we have to offer. And I think that's a bit of a challenge that we face sometimes, that we have something great that we have to offer that they need. And we forget that there is felt needs and our presence, the very nature of who we are, is actually the most significant thing that we can offer somebody. And so the schools are in need of volunteers, they're in need of coaches, they're in need of conversation groups. They're in need of young people to have caring adults in their life. And if it was just being a caring adult, I'd be a social worker, right? But when you put a caring adult with a call on their life to bring Jesus to teenagers, you become a youth pastor without a church. You become a youth worker that engages young people where they're at. And this is what I like to do, and I get the opportunity to lead this organization, so I like to share my heart of how I try and do things and want to do things, because I believe it's the Lord's, and it's for His glory. When there is a youth group in this community on a night of the week, we connect in that school that same day with a youth pastor. And it's very interesting that often now, young people will go from an afternoon group with relationship with a youth pastor and some volunteers and with my staff into a youth group in the evening because of that. Because relationship is key. We create proximity and presence in young people's lives, and relationships are key. And so, to see every young person fully alive in Jesus, it takes the local church, it takes you for Christ, it takes the local city and community to work together, hand in hand, to better the lives of young people. There is fitness centers that may make young people physically strong. Let the fitness centers be good at that. We'll go in there and we'll work with fitness centers. There's many in the room that coach soccer. There's many in the room that coach music and sit alongside young people. You're using your skills, your gifts, and abilities. That's what we try and do. But then there's a portion of what we do, which is bring the presence of Jesus into that relationship. Over time, young people get to know your story. You get to hear their stories. And when that felt need comes up, when the felt need of a young person's heart comes up, like it says in the Word, there's nothing new under the sun. And then we're ready to love young people and ready to serve young people. And so a vision to see every young person fully alive in Jesus in this community is way too big to achieve alone. So hear it from me. Youth for Christ Canada, Youth for Christ Comox Valley cannot accomplish this without partnership. We can't do it in and of our own. We need partnership. Aspects of partnership are having a youth pastor that actually gives one for kids. He actually cares about kids. I've been other places and they don't really care. It's a formality. He actually cares about kids. He's actually creative and creating space for young people to come into a context that they're familiar with. And through that, we see transformation because we're creating a place for them to belong well before they behave. We have financial partners, and so there's many in this room that actually do give. So let me just pause and say thank you, like actually thank you. 850 staff across the country raise their full-time salary to do this work. It is, I was told this morning by a really handsome man that fundraising is the hardest part and hardest job in life. And I totally agree and can empathize with that thought. But I started to, a number of years ago, read a book talking about the God ask. And it transformed my understanding of finances. See, the earth is the Lord's, all it contains. You need to accept what I have, and then with what's in my hand, seek first His kingdom. And so this book paints a picture of partnership where it is about not me asking somebody for financial support. Although I don't have a problem with it, I don't ask for a transactional obligation. It's not transactional. The biggest thing that I can ever do is ask you to put your face towards God and ask Him, what will you do with my resources? And as you seek God and say, what should I do with what I have? Let God move you. Because sometimes it's not my organization, it's another one. Sometimes it's not my organization, but that very notion to look to God and say, Lord, the earth is all yours. I know now what I have, and I'm seeking you with it, can actually transform your own life. And I genuinely believe it. And so I don't believe ministry partnership in my role is asking for transactional finances, but asking you to seek first the kingdom with what God has given you. And then so that you can see God's work and God's kingdom grow through the resources that you have. In that, don't get me wrong, I do need money. Okay? And I am very grateful for the support of the church. And I do want to highlight one thing. Times have changed. Things do get more costly. Things do grow. Starting new initiatives does cost more. And the biggest struggle that maybe we see today is lots of young people have a heart to serve in ministry, but they don't have the family support or the background to do it. And another one that we have to really, really work hard on is the fundraising model that we have at Youth for Christ, Comox Valley, and in Canada is very narrow, because there is some groups, ethnic groups of people that are on staff and are on team that can't go to their families and communities and ask for money because it just doesn't work. And so young people need support. Young people need funding. I think the greatest thing a church can do is invest all they have in the next generation, whether that's their time, their energy, and their prayer. Now, I know the teenagers are downstairs, and there's some teenagers in the room. If you're a teenager in the room, I want to encourage you to take that principle seriously. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains. You might only have a little now, but you've got a lot more than your parents did have one time, because things have changed. Start young in saying, here's what I have, Lord, use it. Now for the other teenagers in the room that have slightly more gray hair, slightly a bit aged on the face, who may be slightly a little bit more callous to the promptings of God to give, who might have seen the world go round and there's nothing new under the sun. I ask as well that you would consider being open to God transforming the way you live by how you give. To my organization, to any organization, but do it from a position of seeking God first, not because there's a need and someone's asked. I'm going to tell you a story about the importance of our role in this community. I coach soccer because I can't play very well. There are some amazing men in this church that coach young people soccer and give their time to it. And during a random day on the field, an older gentleman from the military came to play in the men's, and he came to me and he says, tell me what you do again. And I told him what I did, and he says, okay, I'll need to chat with you later. And then he forgot. And then we got an email to sign up for one of our newsletters, which we constantly are trying to update because they are sort of like, you know, from the 90s, and we'll keep working on that so we can be a bit more relevant in our design. But anyway, he gets a hold of me, and he says, would you be able to help my nephew? This young man comes from a really challenging home, really challenging place, and his auntie and uncle take him multiple times in the week from Down Island so that he can stay with them, so he can navigate school. They've got a heart to see their nephew succeed. And I said, yeah, sure, what is it I could do? And he says, well, do you have any programs, anything we do? I said, well, we are in the local high school, and so we got to connect with him in the local high school, and then we got him to be invited to come to a youth group very near here, maybe about 3 feet below me. And he loved it. He loved it because he found a home. He found a place, and he found people that cared for him. There's often people out there that are just not interested in what the church might be doing because they don't really know, that may be a little bit too scared to ask. They don't maybe dislike the church. They just didn't know it was an option. And so there's young guys like that that now have been in the youth group for a while, have gone to History Maker, have said yes to Jesus, because it's just about proximity and being available. It's a simple story. It's not flashy. It's not big. It's just the natural norm that relationships that are built in the community then get expounded on. And when we go hand in hand in partnership with the local church, young people's lives will be transformed. So our organization really desires to see young people know, follow Jesus. And so as I was sharing and preparing to share, I had a busy week, and as I was working through it, I got stopped. And I got stopped by the Lord. And I thought, well, I'm just going to talk about what I do, and that'll be okay, and talk of stories and tell them how we community partner and things like that. And he actually stopped me in my tracks because I believe this room is yet both full of faith and full of fear. And so I said, Lord, do you want me to preach? I don't do that very often. I can't even gather my own thoughts many times. And he led me to this passage, which I'm going to read and hopefully go through very quickly, just to maybe give some parameters to what I think he might want us to hear this morning. It's 11:20. How long have I got, Calvin? 15. Okay. Ephesians 3:14-21 says, "For this reason I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church in Christ Jesus to all generations. Amen." As I spend time reflecting on this, I'll start off with my big idea, so if you get lost, you kind of know where I've come from. If I run out of time, you can at least take home my heart for you this morning, what I think and I believe God's word is saying. But it's how we experience and view God's love will directly affect how we love others and see other people. And God's love for us is something that we need to receive, that we need on a regular basis to allow to transform us so that as a body, as a local church, as a collective group of people that have just simply said yes to Jesus, we can love people how God wants to love them. And there's always a problem. I have a problem because I always spot problems. So the central core of the gospel message right now for us to understand is that you are perfectly loved and completely loved. Finish, statement, period. Completely loved and perfectly loved by God, despite your ability and nature to sin. And I think the problem and struggle is we don't believe God truly loves us, and so we live in fear rather than faith. I truly believe that's what it is. It's a work of God that allows us to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in the inner man. It's a doing of God. Now, I don't even know if I'll get to the end of what I've put together, but let me tell you this. There was no conclusion of five things you must do. There is no measurable targets that after you leave this morning, I would like you to do. I would simply love you to be. I would simply love your hearts before the Lord to be. He created you to be, not just to do. And so however we experience God's love for us will directly affect how we love others. And I'm being in this room this morning, there is no shadow of a doubt that you guys want to be effectively loving this community. I mean, your mission's on the thing. You've got me here. You've got missions targets on the board. You're praying for one another. Would you agree with me that this building is way too small for the people in this valley? Right? We have this heart to be effective, and yet we want to live a powerful life, an effective life, and it comes through God's love. I'd like you to finish this statement for me. If it's really that good of a deal, if it's really that good of a deal, if it's too good, it's too good to be. It's too good, then it's too good to be true. Think about the lie. I love a deal. Oh man, I love a good deal. I like to go to Home Depot and find good deals. That's me. And I've had some really good deals before. My wife will testify to this, that often I come home and I've gotten something for free and I don't know how I've done it. And it's like, no way. I'm like, yeah, it's like too good to be true. I don't know how it happened. Like just something took place. But we live with this mentality that it's too good to be true. But the reality is the gospel message is actually true. That God loves you perfectly and completely despite your nature and ability to sin. So I'm going to get the elephant in the room on the table. The reason why we have a hard time with it is because if that is true, God sees you. I've been playing IC games with my 10-month-old, and she's kind of getting the hang of it, and she likes it. But there's something about being seen that we don't like. There's something that's like really exposing of who we are because God sees us. And we spend our whole lives trying to hide who we really are inside, and we do a really good job of living a life of just kind of facading everything to make it look that we're lovable. Like Adam and Eve in the garden, the very first thing they do is they've taken hold of this fruit, they've eaten it, they've blamed each other, and they're hiding. So the nature to do is hide. We're broken people, and we hide, and we want to hide ourselves. And the problem is that being truly known and seen by God means that we might have to give God full control, full room. If you go through the Gospels, I had an opportunity one time to just go through, and I was struck by this very phrase. Jesus saw the crowds and spoke to them. Jesus looked at the disciples. Jesus turned his gaze to the disciples. Jesus looked at the man and said, Jesus looked at the rich young ruler and loved him. That Jesus, all through his earthly ministry, it always in there, the word sees. Jesus looked, Jesus sees. And when we allow Christ to look at who we truly are, when this passage talks about he would grant you the riches to be strengthened in power through his Spirit in the inner being, It's opening up ourselves to let God truly look at us and let the Spirit do the work within our hearts so that we can have the capacity to let Christ dwell within us. In the Old Testament, even Hagar says, I give you the name, the Lord who sees. El Roy, the Lord who sees, for you have seen me. So in our hiddenness, in our hearts, the challenge is that we know who we are and we don't want others to see it. Let me tell you something. I'm a broken man. I'm a broken man. I'm a broken vessel. Earlier in Ephesians, it talks about being saved by grace. I'm a broken vessel. And without the capacity to house the Holy Spirit, I'm a broken man. And we all are in the room. We're all broken in many different ways. And it's the indwelling life of the Holy Spirit that talks about in this portion of Scripture that gives us the capacity to have the fullness of God dwell. And that we weren't just created to do, but we were created to house the very nature and very spirit of God so that we could be the capacity of what God wants in us so that that capacity could then be seen through us. There is no list of do's and don'ts. We were created by God for a purpose. We were created by God to be loved by Him despite our sin. And to be truly seen by Him means that we let Him have full rule in our hearts. We give Him the real estate of our inner being, the operational room to which all our decisions, character, and lives come from. We must release that control. Henry Nouwen puts it this way. It's an incredible mystery of God's love that the more you know how deep you are loved, the more you will see how deeply your sisters and brothers in the human family are loved. And so I think so often we have this fear of being known. We place all these rules, living these laws. We have lots of traditions, lots of things guarding us to protect us because we just want to stop God's presence. Like I said, there's no conclusion. It's kind of hard to put your finger on. But there's a lot of voices, and I liken it to being in a room full of different radio stations on different channels. It would drive you nuts. But if they were all on the same frequency, it would be okay. But we live in a world. Our lives are full of voices, noises. We want to be seen, but we want to control what people see. We want to put on this is who I am, when it's not really truly who we are. And there's all of these voices going on. It's when we get into a place that we call the hiding place. Jesus in Matthew 6:6 says, go in your room in secret and pray that way. He's not talking about prayer. He's talking about, let me see you. Let me see you here. Let me know you. Because when we do that, we will hear the voice of God. And you'll hear your name this morning. Your name is Beloved. We can't operate outside of God's very nature inside of us. It says that to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. We were created to house God. We were created in the image and likeness of God. And in the fall, the Spirit of God left the indwelling presence of humankind. Jesus came as the second Adam to show a life full of the Spirit. It's very simple. If you consider Jesus crucified for our sin as a complete payment, if you believe that He resurrected and overcome death to reveal His power over it, if you believe He revealed Himself to the disciples and the crowds as a promise of restoration, if you believe that He ascended to display His authority that He had and was given by His Father, then that gospel message changes everything. It changes everything, and this is why. because it shows someone has loved you enough to do something for you that you could not do. That you could not do for yourself and without anything in return. God's love is powerful. God's love now dwells in you. And so there is no do's and don'ts. My random thoughts from this passage and what God has challenged me with is that as a community of believers, if we allow our broken hearts to be seen by Him, He by His very Spirit through faith will heal and create in us the capacity to house Himself. And then the surpassing knowledge of who He is will fill in us the very Spirit of who He is, so that we can be conduits of that love to the community around us. Now, we don't like change. That's just a fact. You for Christ uses a phrase, anchor to the rock and gear to the times. And I'll tell you right now, in youth ministry, we are still anchored to the rock, but we're way behind the times. We're way behind the times. And it's getting harder and harder to stay up with the times. And it's hard for change. Perfection is killing the church. For young teenage guys and girls, perfection is ruining their life because they're following a path and a pattern that we must live a certain way, be a certain way, follow the steps, do the rules, act like I acted, do what I did. And it's killing the church because we do that and it only displays a God that we want to display, not the God from the Bible. Please hear me when I say that. It's crushing us. The weight to being good enough or the weight of having to achieve or look all together is crushing us. God gave the Spirit to provide freedom and to give life. When the law was given in the Old Testament, it came down the mountain to a bunch of rowdy people being like clowns, and 3,000 people were slaughtered that day. And I know it's safe to say this because I'm in a Pentecostal church. I don't know what church I belong to. It's okay. But I'm in a Pentecostal church. When Jesus said, wait, and I will give you power. When Jesus said, I will give you my Spirit. On that day, how many people were saved? 3,000 people. And I tell you why. Because the law brings death and the Spirit gives you life. The law brings death and the Spirit gives you life. So if there's anything that I can communicate this morning, it is let God's Spirit dwell in your hearts in such a way that you allow Him to do far more abundantly than you can ask or think. I see transformation in this community. I'm believing for young people to come to know Jesus, one relationship at a time. I desire for all the churches, in fact, to grow. My heart is to see youth ministries thriving. My heart is to see young people living their faith and being fully alive in Jesus. But for me, where the rubber really does meet the road is me and my call to action. And so I just challenge you this morning to maybe complete my thoughts or complete my sentences, which I haven't maybe put together very well, that are you letting Christ's love dwell in your hearts? Or are you pushing the love of God away and living by your own capacity? He never told you to live a good life. He never told you to live a certain way. He says, let me take my life in you to live that through you. It's the resurrection and indwelling life of Jesus. And very interestingly, in verse 18, he says, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. It's not an individualistic thing. You are not individualistically, independently connected. You are one body, one family. The soil is Christ, and you are seeds in that garden. So be in community. Be a community that's in the valley for the valley. I sat and I read your values. Oh man, what a difference this community would be if those values were fully lived out. Man, powerful values. So if you know who you are, you'll know how to behave. Could this local body live authentically with one another as broken vessels healed by Christ? Conduits of the very love of God to reach out to other people who may be different than you, but no less, who may have broken habits, hurts, pains that you also may have, so that the world will see a Savior that saves us from ourselves and our ability to live a good life. And that's why, because too many people look at the church and say that there is no power there. And it's just true. I don't need that to live this life. But if we recognize our community of broken people, and we recognize that we need to live as sent ones of God, then it's not God's mission. God is mission. And God is mission in us. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, as Paul says, it's a mystery. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And often we say, for God's glory, give all the glory to God, God's glory. And let me tell you, if you can understand the word glory, and in its context, you'll understand that it means his manifest presence. Christ in you, the hope of Jesus showing up in someone's life who needs him today. That's what the hope of glory is. And so it's an incomprehensible love, an inner strength that you can have. It's the indwelling Christ. My heart is that this church would move from fear to faith. There's people in this room that probably still like the old benches that you sat on. I'm just elephants in the room. And there's people in this room who have longed for the day to see gray chairs or some form of chairs. But I tell you what, I can guarantee you that all of you in this room long to see people come to know Jesus. So what are we going to stop letting get in the way for that very thing to take place? So I'm actually really grateful, Calvin, for that, for your challenge to fill out the survey. Because you've got loved ones around you, you've got grandkids, you've got friends, neighbors, that all have needs. And God has placed you all here as missionaries to meet that need. I do thank you for the privilege of being here this morning. I thank you for the support that I get through this church. And I actually don't feel like it's not my church, I'll be honest. Sandy will actually tell you, I walk in there like I own the place and I disrupt the administration portion of what she's trying to do and I just have conversation, but I actually love this place. You're in a strategic location. The best is yet to come. But it starts with those in this room, letting God love you and see you and then therefore being receptive to his spirit and knowing that if you don't go away with anything else this morning, you are his beloved. Let me close in prayer. Jesus, we thank you for your deep love. We thank you for the width of your love, the height of your love, the breadth, the depth, Lord. Father, your word says it's your kindness that leads us to repentance. Jesus, make us kind people. Jesus, I pray that you would fill our hearts with the power of your Spirit, that your love would go forth from this place, that the community around us would be radically transformed, not because of our efforts, but because of your presence. And Father, for anyone in this room this morning who still doesn't believe that they're loved, who has said yes to you but is still pushing you away, I pray for an increase of your Spirit. Thank you that your love breaks down the walls of hostility. Father, we love you. Jesus, we thank you. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Robbie. A good word, a challenging word. As we go, let's be that presence in the community. And let's come again next week to hear more, to be challenged more. Thank you again, Robbie. Very challenging, very true.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.